And when I walked in this morning, I walked in through the front door, the first service on purpose, and I forgot all about Bruce and Peggy doing coffee and their thing out there. And when I saw him in his apron, I was ready to order a roast beef sundae, something on a pretzel roll. He is one of the most fabulous cooks, chefs, and he and his wife are the two of the nicest people in the entire universe, and they are out there just wanting to be a blessing to everybody. And we love you so much and appreciate you so very much for doing that. I'm telling you, I'm walking in, it's a little chilly. You know, you walk up that sidewalk over there and you feel the glory of the Lord blowing. And then I walked in the front and I saw them, and it's like, I'm just home. I feel so good about being here today. I'm really thankful. I'm just so thankful. And if you've never been to the Country Cottage in Darien, whew, ladies, bump your husband or your boyfriend or whoever you call him and get him to take you up there and take your checkbook with you. Amen. That's it. That was free. That's because you're serving me coffee today. And I love you. And Nathaniel and his dad, Ken Degnan. Nathaniel, stand up. Give him the biggest City Church love today. I love you guys. Nathaniel lives in Melbourne, Florida now. And you come up. You couldn't come up here if it was 60 and 70 and feel like it was home. You had to come up this week when it's in the teens. And he looked at me and he says, it is 70 where I am right now. Like, quiet boy, sit down and behave right now. Lord, I just want to say thank you for the next few moments. God, do what you do so good. Touch our lives. Change our hearts. Unfold to us the great purpose that you have for our lives in front of us. Right now, I pray for each and every one, from the youngest to the eldest today. May your greatness, may your desires become our desires. May your will become our will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth now as it is in heaven. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen today. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes again this week about this thought about giving up to go up. And the more I ponder that thought and I just open up my life for God to really put his finger in the areas of my life that I need help with, the more I'm seeing some things that I think are really important, or I have felt they were important, or they were a part of my life, or maybe they were unimportant, but because of the routine of my life all the time, they became an important part of my life. I read this quote this week, "We are what we repeatedly do." That's such an important thought for you just to ponder today, because when it comes to your life, if you're going to go up higher, sometimes you're going to have to give up some of the old habits that you have formed to get a new one. Now, you know, research tells us that it takes 30 days to create a new habit and 30 days to leave an old one. Can I just tell you, that sounds great, but that's probably not going to be a reality in your life. You're going to have to practice the things that you want to be a part of your life on a regular basis for more than 30 days for it just to become habit to you, for it to become normal to you. You know, it's like learning to drive a stick shift car. For somebody that's learned how to do it, they get in, it's just part of them, they know how to put their foot on the clutch and shift and do it, and they don't even think about it. But you put somebody in there that's never driven a car like that, you think they're going to master that in 30 days? Not on your life. They're going to be grinding gears. They're going to be putting it in reverse when they should be putting it in first. They're going to do all kinds of things. I've taught many kids over the years, including my own, how to drive a stick shift car. It doesn't seem to be that big of a deal anymore. But when you were my age, if you didn't know how to run a four on the floor, you were weird. Everybody needed to do. How many of you know what three on the tree means? Well, we've got some people here. But you've got to work at it longer than just a few days or a few weeks for it to become a habit in you, and also to let an old one go. It's so funny that a lot of times people will practice one lifestyle for so long. They'll come to church for 2, 3, 4 weeks and they say, well, that didn't work. Then they want to change what has developed in their life over 20, 10, 15, 20 years, and they want that all to change in the course of a month. And that is never going to happen that way. You have to discipline yourself. You have to make a decision, and I'm going to go up higher, and if I'm going to do that, I'm going to leave some of the things behind me that have really no value to them. And what brought me to this place is because last week I talked about we're in the season of which is called Lent. It's the 40 days up till Easter, where many traditions cause us to give something up. And a lot of people, they give up insignificant things, and they think, well, this is a big thing. I'm going to give up this. But I'm calling you and I to give up some things that are bigger than that. Like last week I talked about giving up your history. You've got to move past sometimes your history. You've got to, if you want to lead the orchestra, you have to turn your back on the crowd. You got to forget some of the things. You can't, maybe you're not going to forget them, but you got to relinquish the sting and the hold that they have on your life. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything is becoming new. You got to give that up. You got to let that go. You've got to give up the weight of things in your life. And I'm going to talk about it later on. Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares you or holds you down. You've got to learn to give up resentment in your life. This one, every time I mention this, I feel that pushback in my heart and my spirit from somebody saying in their heart, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what this one's done to me or what they said to me or how they treated me. You're right. I don't know, but God knows. And he sent his son Jesus to shed his blood on the cross so that you and I could have peace and have freedom from what anybody else would try to do to you. Amen. And I love this quote. I read it last week by Lewis Smedes. He said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you. And so when we're talking about giving things up, why should we give up anything? Well, we need to give up some things because of our lives, and we have purpose in our lives. Each one of us are born with a significance that God has prepared for you and I. And you will never know what the significance of that is until you let go of some things that you're just carrying around with you all the time that are non-essentials, that are not important in your life. Psalm 139:16 says, all the days are ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And what he's saying is that God has a great plan and a purpose for your life, that when you engage in it, you will not believe where he will take you to. And you will never know it until you come to the place and know that you have been born with a purpose that has been attached to your life, greater than anything you could ever think or imagine in your life. Ever. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And God created this purpose for our lives that when we experience it, when we get a glimpse of it, we cannot be persuaded that nothing else will come and fulfill in our lives what he has for us. And that is one of the reasons in our lives that we have to give some things up to go up to another place. When we find the purpose that God has called us to. When we begin to live in the dream that God has called us to. And if you weren't here Thursday night, I want you to encourage you to go to the website and listen to the message that Aaron spoke on Thursday night about dreaming. It was so powerful. And she began to talk about how a few years ago, I always have them write out their dreams. I want to hear what your dream, what your vision is. I want to come alongside of you. I want to pray. I don't want to have people on staff that maybe want to go and be a rocket scientist, and I'm trying to hold them in the office upstairs. I want to help them do that, be whatever they're called to be. And one of her dreams was to have a dance studio and have a facility where, and she had it up on the screen. You should have been here. It was one of the great. I actually pondered whether or not I would have her preach this morning. It was so good. But she put her dream up on the screen, what she had written down several years ago, and only to discover today she is walking in the fulfillment of that dream. Oh, my goodness. And you will never, yeah, come on. You will never know what that feels like until you engage in it, until you're bold enough to believe you were born with a purpose in your life. You were born with a dream attached to your life, and you need to relinquish whatever it is that's holding you back and go for it, my brothers and my sisters, and believe that God will come alongside of you and He'll help you. He'll adjust it. He'll change it a little bit. I remember her coming in one day and telling me when, I think it was the Batavia City Schools had that big building over there on Washington Avenue. It came up for sale. And she came in one day and she says, man, I drove by that building and something leaped in my heart. Like, wouldn't that be a great place? And I looked at it and I knew the price of it. And I said, nah, that's not a great place. Only to find out just a few years later that God would give her something that she could participate in to let her dream come to pass, and many others that are coming to pass in that same building right now. That's the power of God. Why do we give up anything? Because there is always a competition for our time and for our attention. And if you let other things and other people define who you are, you will be going in a myriad of ways, but never in the way that God has called you to go. I love this quote. An overwhelmed schedule will often produce an underwhelmed soul. That is so good. Remember, we are what we repeatedly do. We are that. And God is calling you and I sometimes to give up all of the busyness and all of the stuff that we think we have to do and maybe just focus on what He has called us to do. And when you move in that place, you find the plan and the purposes of God. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. And isn't that so true that we find ourselves, especially we get a little older and we look around at us, we look at all these things over the years that we knew we thought we had to have. We look at our garages and we see stuff and junk all over the place. At one time, man, I needed that and I would do everything only to find out it has no value to me at all. Why do we give some things up? Because time is short. Because our time is shorter today than it was yesterday. And I know this makes people feel uneasy sometimes when I talk this way, but I got to talk about it because it is the truth. James 4:13, 14, and 15 says, listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, we'll make money, we're going to do all these things. We got all these plans. We're going to do this. We're going to party. This is what we're called to do. We're going to do all these things. And the Bible says, He says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You have a clue what's set up for tomorrow. And nothing comes into reality in the screen of my life more than that, than on a regular basis when I have to sit with family members who have lost a loved one only to find out we didn't know this was going to happen. We didn't plan this to happen. And God is telling you and I today that we've got to give up some things in order to go up higher and to understand that our life is short. And He says, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or live out that. Is it God's will? Is what you're engaging in every moment of your life, if the things that you're busy with, spinning in and out all the time, is it the Lord's will for you? Is it what God wants for you? Is what you're holding on to, is it really of that much value to you? And this week, you know, the Lord, he just kind of put his hands on a few things in my life, little things. You know, I'm a little bit of a news junkie. Actually, I'm a lot of a news junkie. I just enjoy it. And I, you know, I'm in a kind of a groove and a routine. I get up early in the morning. I spend some time in prayer. I always read the Word of God before I go out the door. I go to the gym. I get beat up. I come home. I didn't say that, did I? I come home. I have my water, my coffee. I sit in a chair. I'll turn the news on. And this week, all week, I felt when I came home, I felt this tugging from the Lord. I don't want you to do that. And it's not a big deal. It's not like I'm in sin or anything. But it's just something. Is there that? Was God pulling me for a purpose? And maybe it's a purpose right now, right today. Because the direction of your life will not change until you give up what is leading you in that direction. And if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Nothing ever changes. Nothing changes. Arguing with your family. Getting in fight. I shared in the first service. When I was younger, you know, my dad was, he was gone out of my life when I was 11. He died when I was 13. And when he died, I have to be honest with you, it was a relief because he was so abusive. But I never comprehended that same DNA that was in him. Some of that transitioned in me with, not in an abusive way, but I had an anger issue. And I should have gotten help with that. I should have. I didn't have anybody at that time in my life to say, you know what, Marty, you need to go to whatever it is, anger management, or see a counselor, or somebody that could help me process through that so I just wouldn't, you know, just go ballistic. And I felt that today to tell somebody that maybe you're here. Maybe that's an issue in your life. You hold on to that like it's a badge. And sometimes people do. They said about this one guy, how is he? He's even tempered. He's just mad all the time. And sometimes we hold on to that thing and we say things like, well, that's just the way I am. That's just how I was born. That's how I was raised. Like that's a logistic excuse for you or I. Is this working this morning? Are you still stunned by the hour difference? Or what do you need to give up today? Is it an addiction? I had a list of things, and then I deleted them all. And I felt the Lord say, no, I'm just going to lead at that moment. I'm going to speak to hearts. When you get to this place, I'm going to begin to speak to hearts what it is that maybe they need to give up so they could go up higher. For some of you, maybe it's some kind of an addiction. And you don't even want to admit that you got some kind of an addiction. You just go along thinking, well, I can handle it. I'm just going to be okay. I can do this on my own. And can I just tell you, you can't do it on your own. You can't. You got people around you right now. People that want to help you. People that want to stand with you. People that can tell you where to go to get help. Don't be careful where you tell somebody to go. I was just thinking about a wife. She just said, I'd like to tell him where to go. I'm guilty. Sometimes the guys say you're always hard on the husbands. That's because I am one and I need to be challenging to me. But husbands, dads, are you being a leader in your home? Are you setting the example that you want the rest of your family to follow? Because if you think you're going to do one thing and they're going to do something else, you are lying to yourself. Your children are going to follow in your footsteps regardless if they can see it or not. They're going to do what you do. And you need to give some things up. Ponder that for a minute. I'm going to take a drink right here. There's so much that I could say and I'd like to say right now. I just believe the Spirit of God is just pushing on somebody right now. So what brings me to that place? I got to decide what is important in my life. Is your life being defined by what's urgent or what is important? Because if you don't clarify what is important, you'll be caught up in what you think is urgent all the time. You'll be getting called here. You'll be getting pulled here. You'll go this way. You'll go that way. Everything is, I got to go here. I got to do that. And nothing could be further from the truth. When you find out what is important in your life, you will arrange your life around the importance of that. And until you do, you get caught up in a myriad of ways. And if, you know, I made a decision years ago. I used to go and go and go and go. I'd be morning till night. I'd be at, you know, meeting people at night, and I thought that's what pastor did. And thank God that I got, some men in my life, they're older than me, and told me, they just looked at me one day and said, "You're stupid. You got to quit that." And if you call and you want to meet with me, I'm not meeting with you at night unless we're going to go to dinner and I got the blonde with me. I'll meet with you then. We'll eat some. Last week I got everybody going to Five Guys. Let me see. What am I going to do this week? How about if you want to meet with me, we'll go to Yumi's and we'll have some spicy crab rolls. We'll have some tom yum soup. I'm not getting the amens like I got last week when I talked about the cheeseburger and french fries. But the reason that I don't do that is because what is important to my life is sitting on the front row over here. And I'm going to hang out with her at night before I'm going to go hang out with the boys. Now, will I show up at a basketball game? Sure, because I got to show the young bucks who the man is on the court. But I know what is important in my life, and I set up the boundaries to protect that. And sometimes you got to give some things up in your life to protect what is important to you. Philippians 3, 7 and 8, it says, Paul says, whatever was to my profit, look at this, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus is my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul said, I'm going to give up some things so I can go up and know him and find what it is that he has called me to. And when you find that, my brothers and my sisters, you will have a passion that drives you like nothing else. I know what it is in my life. I know the things in my life that I had to let go, that I had to give up to embrace what it was that he had for me. Number two, you got to give calendar time to the important things of your life. If you value it, you'll put it on your calendar. And if you don't, and I tell this to people all the time, do you have a calendar? Well, I got this over here and I got that over there and I use this. Get a calendar. Put the important things on it and push out all the other things that really aren't important. You got to give it up to go up higher and quit saying that I'm just not good at that. So that's an excuse for you to live lower than where God has called you to live. Come on, I'm calling people to give up some things today so that you can go where God wants you to go. Psalm 90, verse 12. And I read this at every funeral I ever do. Teach us to number our days and to recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Discover the freedom of prioritizing your life. Put the things in proper place as where they're supposed to go. Like what? Like making time for renewal in your own personal life. Give God an opportunity to influence your life in a very particular way. Let him speak to you. Put yourself in a position where everything else is turned off in your life. And you're sitting there and you are putting a demand on heaven to speak to you at that moment. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Let that happen in your life. Make time for important relationships. The people that you welcome in your life will be a part of your life. I love people. I love relationships. I love to be around people. But I find out sometimes individuals, they'll step away, and then I find out later they're going through something in their life. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. It's not good when you're going through something to isolate yourself. Relationships matter. Yes. women's Bible study Monday night, men's Bible study Tuesday morning, 7 to 8 a.m., men's Bible study Wednesday nights from 7 to 8, a corporate gathering Thursday night, 7 to 8, 10, and then a myriad of other things through the week. They're in your bulletin. But connect with people. Get in a relationship with others that will help you and will foster who God has called you to. And also, you've got to make some time for reward in your life. And that's not just for you. I'm talking about a heavenly reward. Doing something with your life that God has called you to leverage your life for the sake of the kingdom of God. What are you called to do? What can you give up that will produce something great for God's glory? Because let me tell you something. If you're born again, if you're saved, all of your sins have been wiped away. Aren't you glad for that today? Come on, aren't you glad for that today? Every sin, the ones you've committed, the ones you did maybe on the way here today, and the ones you will do, Jesus washed your sins away. But you and I will stand before God, the Bible says, and we will give an account for what he has entrusted to us. And you will give an account for how you allowed God to use what he has given you for the purposes in the future of the kingdom of God. And if you have a gift that God has put in you, that you can bless others in a particular way, you better use that gift, my brothers and my sisters, because you will answer to Almighty God. Come on, that's a good place to put your hands together for Jesus today. And then number three, you got to give up some of the non-essentials. I shared the scripture earlier from last week, Hebrews 12:1. Here it is again. Throw off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out before us. You will never get to where you are called to go if you're carrying around the weights that are holding you down. You know, at our gym we have these sandbags, and we haven't done it in quite a while, and just because I'm using it in my message today, I hope we don't use them for quite a while. We did these, they call them sandbag runs. These sandbags, 20 to 70 pound sandbags, they're just long, just dumb sandbags. I remember when I first started going to the gym. Sandbag run. I got enough sand in my bag to run without putting more on me. And sandbag, a few years ago, the gym was upstairs. We had to go up and down the stairs with the sandbags. And man, I'm telling you, and then they'd say, when you get done, set the sandbag down easily so it doesn't hurt it. I wanted to rip it open and spread that sand everywhere. I hated that thing. When I get done with that, I just... dirty sandbag. But wouldn't it be great if you and I did that with the things that entangle our lives? The writer here says, throw it off. Get rid of that thing. Do I need to talk about it? Do I need to get right down? You know what it is that's holding you back from the best that God has for you. And the writer here says, get rid of it. Say, well, that's easier said than done. You will never do it if you hide behind the cloak of excuses and always say, well, someday. Remember what I said last week? There's 7 days in a week and someday isn't one of them, Bubba. Yeah. Do it today. Do it now. And then you just got to take regular inventory of your life. Always. Where am I at? What's going on in my heart, my life? How's my family? How am I treating my wife? How am I treating my husband? What am I doing for my children? What are my children not doing? What are they involved in that they shouldn't be? What am I closing my eyes to? What am I ignoring, thinking that's going to go away, but it's not going to go away? Which, just because you ignore something does not mean it's going to go away. Got to take an inventory, Psalm 39, 4 and 5. Listen to this. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand, and an entire lifetime is a moment. To you, human existence is but a breath. And that is so real to me. Every time. I did this week, beautiful homegoing of Dominic Valley. Friend for years. The whole family, my heart goes out to him. And that, I'm standing and I'm officiating that funeral, and that box is in front of me. I'm reminded my days are numbered. I can continue on doing what I think is okay instead of changing and letting go so I can go up to what's great, because my days are numbered. And you and I need to focus. What is it? God, what are you calling me to give up today? What has taken first place in my life over what you have for me today? I'm talking to somebody today, and I'm not leaving here until I get it right in my life. I'm going to get it right in my life. You will never know the incredible potential that is set aside for your life until you engage in the complete plan that he has for you. Woo! And when you do, let me tell you something. God will take you farther than you ever thought you would go. I thought of that last year when I was on those two flights from Bali, Indonesia. One was 13 hours to a four-hour layover, and then one was another 14 hours to get to Chicago to find out that I had to drive another 11 hours to get to Batavia to be at my daughter-in-law's birthday party. I thought of that. He will take you farther than you ever thought you would go. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on today. Let's give up to go up. Come on, come on, put your hands together. That's you saying, yes, God, I'm going to do that today. I'm going to give up so I can go up higher. I'm going to forsake so I can go forward. Come on, come on today, come on today. Yes, Lord. I'm just going to do something different. I want everybody to stand up on your feet this morning. I'm going to dismiss you. Prayer people, I want you to come on down. I'm going to close in prayer. Just close your eyes. Bow your head with me. For some of you, this is your moment. You may feel the most awkward right now that you've ever felt in your life. Oh, I sense the loving kindness of God's hand just pulling people's heart right now. I'm going to close in prayer. Even while I'm praying, I want you to get out of your seat and you say, Pastor, those words spoke to me. There's some things I need to give up today. There's some things that I need to, I got to move forward towards God more. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said to him, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. This is your day to do that. You need to come down right now. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. But if God is speaking in your heart, if he's drawing you, there's going to be several people that come down front this morning. You're going to make a new decision to live your life. These people aren't going to ask you what it is you're giving up. They're just going to come alongside of you. They're not going to ask you anything. They're going to come. You're going to come down. They're just going to begin to pray over you. I'm going to close in prayer. While I'm doing that, I just want you to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Come on, somebody, you need to move right now. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. Just move right now. God, I want to say thank you today. Oh, my goodness, God is showing me faces right now. Lord, I want to say thank you today that this will be the start of something brand new in my life. This will be the start of a new chapter in my life. Come on, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Aaron, come up here, help. Thank you, God. I praise you, Lord, for this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that he has made and set aside for me. This will be the end of that has tried to control my life and my destiny and my future. Today will be the beginning of a brand new moment in my life. Father, I pray for each and every one that is here today. I even pray for those who are listening to this online later. I pray, God, that you would minister and move in their heart. God, that you would have your way in their life today. Lord, that you would do something so significant in every life that we give you all the praise and all the honor and the glory for it. God, I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said amen. 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 Come on, one more hand clap for the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. I love you. If you need prayer, don't you leave. You come down. This could be your day. This could be your moment. Go in His grace today. I love you so much.